What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Rising Giants with your hosts, Max Thornton and Dom Kalusic. On this week's show, we have the pleasure of speaking with Vanarith Oom, Senior Startup Development Specialist at Techco Startup Center. In the episode, we discuss his experience living and studying in Korea, his early work at Paragon University, and his first startup experience with Watershed Ventures. He also shares his plans to support early startup businesses in Cambodia through joining Techco Startup Center in August of 2022, where he currently is, and where he plans to play a pivotal role in continuing to foster startup activity and the adoption of technology across different sectors in the country. Lastly, we discuss the importance of user behavior, context, motivation, fear, and inspiration when creating a product, and some of the core values that Vanarith lives by. Be sure to follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rising Giants FM. We hope you enjoy the show.
Traveling or living in other country beside your home country would broaden your perspective. You'll be able to have like a better sense of like development of art, other thing elsewhere, expectation or demand. So like studying in Korea, I spend my time there like 3.5 years, also doing some Korean language course before I do my major study. So it was the longest duration that I was away from home. So I somehow regard Korea as my second home. I also make connection with my Korean like friend, and we become like a brother. We exchange language, and I also happen to move and live with him just to save some cost, living cost. And so it's nice experience. And since Korea is known for its technology, digital service, so I got a lot of inspiration in terms of how technology actually can help solve a lot of problem, either it's societal or economics and like relationship as well.
Okay. And so when you finished in Korea, was that, I guess, about when did you finish your master's? What year was that?
I returned back to Cambodia early 2013. When I come back, I joined Paragon University. Before it, back then it was named Zaman University. So I joined its PR office doing some administrative, like enrollment, student affair, plus the public relation with other stakeholder in education sector.
And at the time when you were, you know, when you'd taken that experience in Korea, and we're coming back to Cambodia, what was it like kind of comparing the two? And I guess at the time, were there that many, were the opportunities that you were looking at still predominantly in, let's say, the NGO space? Or were you also looking at the private sector?
At that time, I quite open, meaning if there's any like opportunity arise, then I will looking at opportunity costs. If I take this, what are the opportunity costs I need to trade off? So some sort of those thinking along the line. Think back then, like when you're living in a fast-moving country, studying at a fast-moving country, there's like the speed that the clock is ticking is different. You can sense that. For example, if we are living in Cambodia and then you visit Laos, you will see the life there is a little bit slow, either because it is like economic activity there or the lifestyle there is like slow. So got that similar sense of feeling, and I see a lot of like opportunity that could be applied in Cambodia market, but the market is not ready because of like the infrastructure is not there. There's no, it's a new thing of like collaboration or open partnership, some sort of those new way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. And when do you think you felt the first like wave of, you know, I think like let's the kind of term you were using earlier was like digital transformation and kind of this start to see this adoption of technology and, you know, interest in, let's say, the startup space. When did you start to kind of observe that yourself?
For me, I start to observe that through, like, I can say Bakem was the pioneering actor or even in creating this community and sense of entrepreneurship.
When was that again? Just curious.
Maybe like before 2010. it was really like unconference. Like there's no topic defined. People just show up and then say, okay, I want to talk to this. Then I do a post it there. And it's more like more unstructured, but as time goes by, it become a little bit like semi-flexible kind of thing.
Like observing this first wave of startup activity and like adoption of technology. I'm curious, like, what was it like being with Watershed Ventures? What were they trying to do in their sector that was, you know, innovative?
So for talking about Watershed Venture, it's not a tech startup. It's basically a social impact business trying to solve long-lasting sanitation problem where a lot of money pour into it to solve it, but then it create its own like loop of dependency back and forth because there's no one actually trying to solve it from private market or market system approach. That's why bought in the inspiration and the mission of the company. And since like after working for some years, I start to looking for a job that are more meaningful in terms of a paycheck. So that's why I got on board with the company. And the innovation that even like a simple business like this can deliver is we're looking at the user behavior, the problem around them, their context, their motivation, their fear, their inspiration, and learning from that, we'll be able to come up with a product that they desire. Because our, like specifically to our latrine product, it is a prefabricated, meaning it's not like a brick built by brick, which the typical toilet look like. And the problem why we come up with that, because we want to have a full control. We want to manage the stock. And it also solve the problem of labor shortage when there are demand for toilet, but there's no mason to do it. So this is like multi-problematic where demand is there, then the supply in terms of like manual labor is not available. So we try to cut the cost, trying to keep the look and feel of like concrete latrine, but using cement fiberboard and metal structure. And it save time, it add value along the way, yeah.
And working at a startup, what were some of the biggest takeaways that you had over the 3 years that you were there that you kind of look back on and maybe mentor with startups today?
3 years with the company, it's teach me a lot of, business sense in terms of, one, there's a lot of things to work on in terms of product development. We need to also groom our sales team to do a proper sale. And we also need to looking at the like day-to-day operation, the accounting, the number, the reporting, all those compliance. So a lot of A to Z thing. And plus, since the business is running like in red color, meaning our cash flow, I mean, in terms of we need to do a business model with some key assumption in terms of unit economics, meaning what are our financial projection, what are the scenario, like how many unit per month we need to achieve in order to break even, and what is our monthly burnout rate. So all those things, plus the fundraising part, which is something new to me that I have privileged to learn from my supervisor. So we do call for funding from both other NGO, international NGO, plus the family office of the philanthropy or something like that. So it's a good learning for me. And comparing to like startup founder, now like to my interaction with them, what I see is their expectation is way different from the reality on ground. They meet an investor one time and then they expect to close the deal, which is not the case. They don't understanding this actually is relationship building. They need to show consistency. They need to show their growth on a quarterly basis. So I actually like trying to transfer this kind of tip to them, saying they need to build like their investor mailing list, and other stakeholders that are interested in their startup, their impact they are delivering. So if they be able to send them on a regular basis, so showing that consistency, then one day it will stick to those people's mind. And then when the time takes, then they will just come to you. So this is my sharing.
No, those are a lot of very important learnings as well. And so after your time at Watershed, you went to Techco Startup Center in August 2021, if I'm not mistaken. What was it like joining Techco? And could you tell us a little bit about what the Startup Center primarily works on or does?
Yes, I think it's somehow like a fate or coincidence. This is my first public agency, like employer. I never been work in public agency, so this is my first engagement with this relationship. And as the name suggests, initially I also thought like the center would only primarily do something with startup, either running startup support program, something like that. But after working there, I see there's a lot of like there's other team that also doing other project or term of reference beside nurturing startup. The center have 5 primary TOR. So the first one is actually startup nurturing program. So we actually run hackathon 2 times per year. We also run accelerator 2 times per year. And the second TOR is on community building. So we have Startup Cambodia as a national program. We also develop and manage Startup Cambodia digital platform as a one window portal where we do the heavy lifting in terms of listing startup. And we are still trying to convince them to claim their profile so that we have all those information, at least say knowing like. And for the third TOO, we are actually also doing research. We have a two different team, one working on applied research, which the center also develop Khmer OCR technology. And this is the backbone for our ChemDG Key EKYC solution that are created by the government. And beside the applied research, we also do the policy research, which we do like landscaping or comparative study on certain topics that are requested by the policymaker. For example, like we do landscaping on fintech technology, looking at what are the fintech adopted or embraced by the relevant government in the neighboring country. So we do those like policy recommendation and study or policy brief so that the government be able to digest something related to technology better. And this is would help avoid any like regulation or blockage versus embrace innovation. Yeah. And the fourth TO is the digital platform. So we also have a team of developers that are design and build and operate government infrastructure, for example, Cambodia Data Exchange, short for ChemDX. So it is data exchange infrastructure that allows fragmented public agency MIS system to actually connect it and integrate it so that they can better exchange information. It also serves to the citizen so that they can have better public service in good experience. Plus also for the business when, for example, like as of now, if you want to register a new business, you no longer need to go in person to each relevant agency. The only way is to apply online. And that service layer is built on top of ChemDX infrastructure. So it's actually streamlined these 3 different agencies. One is the Ministry of Commerce, MOC, the General Department of Tax, GDT, and the Ministry of Labor. And as of now, we are in the phase 3 where we are introducing more public service, more. I think in the pipeline, there would be even like more business service that can be offered there as well. And the last TOO, which is also the new one, is the Enterprise Go Digital. So this is a new program looking at facilitate and fasten the digital adoption of digital solution among the SME. So we did research on the need of technology among SME in Cambodia by looking at their size, like what the micro business likely to use or currently use, and also the different medium, small and large, something like that. So by understanding the demand, we actually be able to match the supply, meaning we will invite these digital solution provider to list on the platform, at least saying, okay, I'm company A and I can offer POS system, company B, I can offer accounting system. So those supply side, a demand side, can actually have a more visibility who they can choose and work with. And plus, we also, with our startup program, we also groom new startup, tech startup that are B2B focused to actually offer digital solution for the SME as well.
That is, yeah, thank you for going through each of those tiers as well. So just to run it back, it's about five tiers. So it's an accelerator and incubating, curating a startup database, working on policy landscape research for the public sector, creating a digital platform as well with your team of developers, and then also helping enterprises going digital, working with the digital adoption for MSMEs. So there's a lot going on at TSC right now, which sounds incredible. I think maybe one thing I'd like to dive in a little bit on is the startup database that you guys are working on. How has it been on a whether it's a month-to-month basis or kind of trying to source or find startups and trying to figure out if a company is still in operations, not in operations. Is it a difficult process, or what is that like?
Yes, it's challenge ongoing process for us as well. So for us, Startup Cambodia is like a new initiative where we are entrusted to do it, but initially we need to bootstrap it ourselves, meaning there's no funding going through. So we utilize our team resource in terms of how can we be smart in terms of managing our time and do this heavy lifting, collecting information, trying to looking at there's a new program there, so which startup actually enrolling there and who is the winner. So we're trying to like input all those information. And this year we actually like through the result or the output that we managed to deliver, we made a proposal to the CBRD fund, which is under the Ministry of Post and Telecommunication. So we are actually be able to run a series, like a 10-month program with a lot of activity this year. So you would like, if you happen to follow Startup Cambodia Facebook page, you would see a lot of activity. As of now, we are running like youth essay writing and film competition just to like excite the youth, the student, to learn more about entrepreneur mindset. And if their taste is matched to the founder characteristic, then they can hopefully get on board with some of the program and test by themselves, something like that. Yeah.
And just one quick question too. You mentioned about university students and their hunger to learn more about the startup space in Cambodia. What other channels do you feel like university students go to be able to learn more, to be able to get more of an idea of what it's like to work in the space?
I think as of now, there are quite a variety of channel or platform in which they can learn or get supported from. And this is like being offered by various actors in the ecosystem, either it's like public agency, government side, or even it is like from a private corporate like SMART, or even the school themselves, like they start to do some sort of competition program. And what I see recently is even the Ministry of Education, they also start their U21, it's like youth 21st century, some sort like that. So just to actually expose that mindset to high school students so that they can be able to test their idea, work on it, and get recognized.
For the country, let's say broadly, whether that's the private sector, the public sector.
Right now, there's like pulling force, meaning there are more supply in the supply side. A lot of putting their hands on it, trying to do some intervention. And we see even the development sector, like NGO, they also doing like impact SME program, some sort of those along the line, even it's not like tech startup. So I think there's a lot of like activity momentum, but it's a bit scattered around. We need to find way as ecosystem to be able to defragmented in a way like, okay, do some grouping. So this is at this different, like different stage of intervention for the startup, for the idea stage. So who are doing what program, and trying to streamline in terms of like timeline, meaning we don't want a startup to show up at every program. And sometimes they jump to like a higher level and then they come down to a lower one, which is not like look good.
What do you think is the main reason for the fragmentation?
For my personal view, I think would be like maybe everyone trying to claim a piece, like a piece of the cake, and thinking of like, how to say, it's a good time to be the forerunner of like producing great startup, winning startup or something like that, rather than being humble, saying, okay, I'm part of this startup journey, rather than say, I'm taking the credit. This is my startup, which I groom, which I graduate, something like that. So I think if we be able to be like to open up and looking like putting the interest of the startup or the ecosystem as a first common goal, then it's better like to open up and then talk and say, okay, you are good at one thing, so this is your specialty, and then we need you at this stage, and then there's another team that can do before you at the idea stage, and we let's do like a pipelining thing. So one startup come to this organization, this program, this is idea stage, so the idea stage will produce this validated idea team. Then there's like incubating program to put this team on a one level up. And then there's another program that more focusing on investment ready, where this incubated team can now get a seed money or next step, something like that. So I think right now we are lacking of this roadmap to say, how can we be part of this staircase journey of a startup?
Okay. Yeah. I think, you know, I think the other unique thing about let's say as it's termed ESOs, right? The entrepreneurial support organizations, like that's the big, like the term thrown around. But I think what's maybe unique about Cambodia is that, of course, for the last 20, 30 years, NGOs have played a very, very big role in the, just, you know, in the country in general. And I think now they're also wanting to see what they can do in this next thing, right? And it's interesting to see that and see what their approach is like versus like someone who's more coming at it from like, let's say, an investor perspective or like a corporate that's opening up to do an accelerator or an incubator. So it's like all these different styles. I think people have to be aware of maybe who is behind each one and how that would then relate if it would be useful for your startup. So I'm just curious on that. I guess that's not really a question, but what do you think needs to change or evolve at a lot of these incubator and accelerator programs in order to make them more valuable and useful for the people that become part of them?
For me, since I'm like private sector guy in terms of thinking, logic, economics, I think when we offer something free, there's no value. So maybe at the beginning of like this current state of the ecosystem, we need to offer free as an incentive so that startup founder can have a chance or opportunity to try it out. But if they are serious and if the program like incubator or accelerator be able to deliver impactful result that they can deliver, then it's okay to put a price tag on it. And this is more of a like a private sector kind of approach. For example, like for me, I would envision or wish to see like Y Combinator kind of thing, where they open up a program, startup can send their application. If they admit, then there's already a first agreement of exchanging fund and equity. And then as Dom mentioned, it's like everyone have a skin on the game. So people need to be serious about their time, their resource, and they are on the same boat. In my personal view on NGO intervention, to me, if I like what I wish to see is I want them to, how to say, have their hand less on those like kind of program, but rather do like digital adoption, digital education to the rural market, rural population. So meaning let the private sector running those program, because they will charge, they will attract good fit candidate. And for NGO, they can use the donor funding money to actually grooming the user side, especially rural area, so that they can be a future market for the startup to expand nationwide.
I think honestly, that's one of the most interesting ideas I've heard like in a while. I guess the intention of all these programs is that the startups are able to grow and get investment. And so in order for it would be good for corporates or investors to run those programs. And then, as you say, on the customer side, on the people that are going to use these products, you know, I guess on like the B2C side, that would be where, you know, the NGOs step in and, you know, really, you know, focus beyond Phnom Penh. Okay. That's a really interesting suggestion. What do you also think about this concept that seems to be being thrown around a lot in the space? And that's this whole concept of impact investing. I'm just curious, like how you think that resonates with founders in Cambodia, or if you think that's kind of a more of a international concept that maybe wouldn't need to be applied here yet.
I think I was exposed to impact investment with my previous job at Watershed Venture, where the social business are not generating net profit. It's run negative. But we are trying to set up a model where if we hit this scale, then we can run on our own feet, deliver result, deliver impact. So those impact fund is actually helping us to pilot, demo those try and error kind of thing where we play around in terms of like what work and what not, and learning from that, we pivot on and trying to looking for a best solution. My observation on startup founder, I think it's still new to them, but I see initiative that actually trying to link like going like doing startuping, you are actually committing 3, 5 years, 10 years of your time. So besides making money, what is your meaning or the purpose of what you are doing? Like how can you find a cause or a meaningful connection to global goal, to the SDG?
What about on the more private side? What are you seeing? I mean, I presume you interact quite a bit with investors. What are you seeing there? Are you seeing that there's more momentum in general from, let's say, tech venture capital from the region to look at Cambodia?
Yeah, I was recently on an exposure trip that we bring 15 startup founders to Thailand. And there we were invited to the like a Krungsri Bank, which is like big name bank in Thailand. And it was co-organized by Japanese government. So what from that trip, we actually see that the ecosystem in Thailand like advanced than Cambodia. So in terms of investor landscape, they also like there are a lot of money, big money, and they are looking for like late stage grow startup. So
maybe you can share, like, you know, What are some of the misconceptions that some people have when you have to explain to them about the ecosystem here? Like when you maybe say, we have a database of hundreds of tech startups in Cambodia, do some people get surprised by that?
Yes, I think because Cambodia hasn't been getting much attention because like there's not many media outlets that do coverage on what's happening in the tech startup scene. So there's a lot of more effort need to put, and this is why I appreciate and admire Rising Giant for being able to play a part in this. So to connect back to my point is that the investor there, like for corporate VC, which is like the like venture capital linked to like arm of a big corporation, especially bank, where they can pool their surplus money plus their client money and then consolidate it into like a vehicle, something like that. So they are actually looking for like late stage startup to invest. And there's also like an angel investor where they are looking for a small size or seed stage startup. But since Thailand ecosystem, like the those generation of startup now are moving to that late stage. And since they're like to story that I hear, like there's no new generation that actively grooming. So those angel investor are now looking to new opportunity beyond Thailand, where they can find like suitable startup at idea stage where they can bet their money on. So from there, we actually meet with some platform player where we can encourage our startup to actually list their profile there, and then investor would be able to see their like visibility.
Okay, and from the investors that you talk to and, you know, what you're seeing in Cambodia these days, what would you say are some of the sectors that are most interesting for the average investor that you talk to? Where are you seeing the most sort of positivity on like, and where are you seeing the people not wanting to look? I'm just curious.
My takeaway from that trip and from the conversation, for Japanese investor and Thai business investor there, since they have like business interest in Cambodia, either they have an office here, a factory here, or they have their like macro, the 7-Eleven. So they're actually looking like the local actor that can do like service relevant to their like value chain. So they do have like option to opt in with like existing, like establishing startup. For example, like if delivery, they can use Grab since it's already also in Thailand, something like that. But maybe the costs are still higher. So they just would like to looking at like local actor who could be do deliver the same thing, but at a cheaper rate. So this is something like not like investor, they are not looking on the return on investment in terms of X time money back, but more on business synergy. How can they invest in you so that you can be part of their value chain or supply to their big business that already exists in Cambodia?
Okay. And what's your general outlook for the next, you know, few years for the tech startup scene here? What are you expecting on the kind of momentum of the
I believe in data. Data would be the new currency. So if you be able to like compile, analyze data and transform it into insight where business can make decision based on it, then definitely this is like a new playground to work on. So if I am like founder in next few months or next year, then my startup idea would be like a CRM kind of thing where imagine like I will be focused more on B2B. Like it would be less fancy. People will not know more about you, but you are actually the underground guy, giant that do all the behind the scene connection. So imagine if there's a business and then they are looking for supplier or prospect what if you be able to produce those data that link or relevant to them? I think that would be a goldmine for me.
Okay. I think that's a very interesting one. I think a lot of people just, you know, there's not that many companies looking at that right now in Cambodia. So yeah, let's look forward to seeing what you decide to found. Just our last section of the podcast, we just have just a few questions we like to ask all of our guests. So what are some of the habits that you have on a weekly or daily basis that keep you motivated in everything that you're doing?
I live by my value, meaning the value would be my guiding frame on decision that I made on a daily basis. For example, like I always want to be self-sustained, meaning if I don't rely on people or make burden to them, then I think I already do a good job, at least not causing anyone harm or burden because of me. Second point would be, since I'm a family man, I'm married with 3 kids, so I feel privileged of living in the time being, and I always thinking like what we are consuming now, what we are doing now will impact on future of my kid generation. So I have a sense of obligation that what we are, like the resource we are consuming now is actually being borrowed from our children time when they grow up. So I always like thinking of like green living, something like that, where we don't really hurt our Mother Earth. And the third part that I live by is the, like, I always live a value, meaning if current, like, for example, like, I always want to do the work and then walk out of the job, meaning I'm done with it. I already deliver and I now no longer add value. So I need to get more challenge where I can add value to the organization.
Okay. And are there any particular like books, or I mean, it could be a podcast that you always kind of go back to, that as like your kind of that's helped you guide yourself on this journey?
I think I like a psychologist author named Job Grant, something like that. So he wrote a book called Giver, Taker, Matcher, and I did inspire from that like concept, or like there are 3 kind of people. One is taker, always take, ask and take, and there's another group is giver, always offer without expecting to return something back. And another one would be the middle man, where if I give you, I expect you to give me back, or I will do good to you if you used to do good to me. So and to me, I always want to be the giver, since I always want to like to add value to people, make people smile and make a place a good, like a happy place to live.
That advice about, you know, understanding how much you're taking versus giving, is something that we try and think about as well. So thank you very much for coming on the podcast today. It's been really great to have you on, and looking forward to everything you continue to do with Techco Startup Center and your journey ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Dom and Max. Thank you.